Essie, it's great to see you again. I feel like we are having more one-on-ones than I have with many of my team members. So welcome to Team Risk 5. It has been so fantastic to see all the momentum you guys are getting. So thanks for doing this with us.
Thanks for welcoming us. We were a little nervous at the start of this, announcing kind of such a major shift for a technology that's been followed by so many people in the industry for so long, and how big of a change it is. But it's been refreshing to be welcomed by you guys with such open arms, but also kind of people being receptive to this change. So
fantastic. Well, you know, listen, MIT has been a pioneer in risk architectures for so long, for decades. And you know, kind of what made you consider shifting over to RISC-V in particular?
When we were looking at this potential pivot, the word open gets thrown around a lot with RISC-V. You know, for us, we kind of thought of it more as being modern. The openness does allow for it to not be burdened by legacies or backward compatibilities that, you know, proprietary ICEs can be, and MIPS has been in the past. And then, you know, the timing aspect of it, has also been pretty important. You know, the idea of MIPS using RISC-V is not new. It's not something that, you know, I came up with or anything like that. You know, there's been teams that have been talking about this all the way back to when I became involved with the company back in 2017. The timing now is perfect for MIPS and also for RISC-V, in that, you know, a lot of the maturity and the new kind of technologies like multi-threading and hypervisors that are all becoming part of the RISC-V standard now are things that MIPS has been doing for a long time. It's just a good time for us to be able to intersect into what RISC-V is doing with things that we've done in the past. MIPS has been through a lot in the last decade, you know, changing ownerships multiple times, most recently a bankruptcy, which is pretty rare for a technology company. You know, it's been through a lot. We're trying to take a little bit of a more pragmatic approach to it. And, you know, at the end of the day, the market wants RISC-V. No matter how bad, you know, people are nostalgic about MIPS and love MIPS as an ISA, you know, it's not something that the market is demanding today. So, you know, we're just trying to be pragmatic business people and do what the market says, which today is switching over to the RISC-V platform.
I love it. At the end of the day, the market wants RISC-V. I'm going to go put that on a t-shirt. Maybe I'll put on the front of it, at the beginning of the day, the market wants RISC-V. And then on the back of the t-shirt, and at the end of the day, the market wants RISC-V. So I might have to open source that one right here on this call. So you said a couple of things in why, you know, first, you know, it was a modern take on risk architecture. So I think that speaks a bit to some of the design flexibility that we have. You know, while we don't have a lot of backward compatibility topics to tackle, it's both not brand new, it is risk after all, but it's also kind of takes a more modular approach. So how much, you know, of a factor is that modular design flexibility approach in, you know, as a factor of your choice, or where do you see that going? Tell me a little bit more about design flexibility, modern approach to risk, things like that.
Sure. Yeah. No, and MIPS actually had something similar in their ISA. They called it application specific extensions, but I think ultimately the idea is the same, which is, you know, despite the fact that we're trying to make general purpose processors, we need to provide some amount of flexibility for the customers to do, you know, performance improvements, have features that, you know, enhance their applications. And that was the idea around the MIPS application specific extensions, but it also lends well to the UDI concept that's in the RISC-V. And, you know, for us, that's really important. I mean, again, it was something that was built into the MIPS ISA. So, you know, it allows us to bring differentiable technologies to the ISA that, again, the things that MIPS has worked on. But also, you know, like you said, I mean, you know, as the world changes and it's changing fast, you know, you're allowed to adapt and come up with new concepts and apply them, you know, without having to go through some massive standardization.
MIPS has announced some incredible new designs on RISC V, you know, highly scalable, general purpose multiprocessors. I mean, that kind of sounds like the higher end of the market, you know, but, and you're coming out with it this year. This is incredible. Where do you see MIPS taking these new general purpose microprocessors? And, you know, what can you tell us about that?
The key to kind of what we're trying to do from a solutions perspective is really apply this idea of high scalability. And you know, that means not just clusters of cores, but we're also trying to do clusters of clusters, right? And so, you know, where does that play well? You know, we think it's definitely going to be the high end of the market, right? Automotive, data center, you know, networking, communications, you know, all those markets. So, you know, for us, it's really kind of trying to take something that MIPS has done well in the past, bring it into RISC-V, and then, you know, use that to enable customers in those segments of the market that need it.
Data centers, automotive, networking. So tell me a little bit more about some of the high-end wireless stuff, you know, network or telecom, 5G, CBRS. Where do you see RISC-V kind of fitting into that space?
Specific to applications like 5G, I think, you know, one of the things that, and this is the history of what MIPS has done in that space, is small code, right? Compact instruction sets. You know, we on the MIPS side, we had something called Nano MIPS that, you know, the 5G world, the customers that we had in that space used significantly as they transitioned to 5G. And when we look at RISC-V, things like the C extension are going to be pretty important. So I'm not sure if the C extension was created specifically for applications like 5G, but, you know, we definitely see things like that are in the standard today that are going to be really important as we try to take our solutions into those applications. You know, if you get into the networking side of it and the data center side of it, you know, this idea of heterogeneous compute has really kind of come to the forefront. You know, the demands there have really been driven by the hyperscalers who, you know, are enabling all these different cloud compute companies. And man, there's a lot of different types of applications, workloads, and what's unique that's been happening lately is, as opposed to having like three or four, you know, silicon vendors face this market, you know, people are bringing teams and houses, which is creating just a massive diversity of solutions, right? And, you know, for us, this is both an opportunity, but also a challenge for RISC-V. How do you build a software ecosystem that's going to support, you know, many customers with many, many diverse solutions? And so, you know, again, for us, it's what's drawn us to RISC-V. I don't think we could do that on our own with our own ISA to be able to support something like that. So, you know, similar to 5G with things like C extensions, it's like, we've got to see how the software ecosystem develops, and, you know, especially around these heterogeneous compute architectures that we see really, you know, playing a huge part in where we think the data center market is going to be at.
Desi, I mean, like, let's face it, the game has changed, right? I mean, it used to be you could strategically put all your eggs in one proprietary architecture basket, and really those days are over. I mean, when you start to look at heterogeneous compute environments, when you start to think about a multiplicity of architecture options, workload portability and ecosystems that respond well to that and that can run well, that run, you know, optimized on any of those selected architectures, that's essential. Those are now going to become table stakes for getting a competitive edge, regardless of which stakeholder position you have in that community, because we all have a piece to play in that. And I fundamentally believe that taking an open and collaborative approach is starting to see significant traction, just as we saw in sort of, you know, globbing onto global standards or globbing onto open source software like Linux. Those become the base building blocks that we all need to sort of hook into for that long-term future. And so I think you're spot on that you know, being part of a community and an open community that collaborates around that is going to be a, you know, a strategic bet that more and more begin to make. So, I mean, let's talk about MIPS some more, kind of where you're going as a company. Where do you see your growth and future with RISC-V?
Although MIPS has played in a lot of different levels of the CPU market, I mean, all the way down to kind of the microcontroller space, and I definitely feel like where we are today with RISC-V is we really kind of want to kind of concentrate on the high end. There might be opportunities where we backtrack and look at opportunities in that microcontroller space, but, you know, where we're intersecting it today and where we look at our roadmaps and our development plans, everything's pushing us in this direction of you know, obviously employing a lot of the technologies that we've MIPS has historically done, multi-threading, scalability with clusters, you know, things like that, but also just pushing single thread performance, right? And elevating that. What we're trying to do with this first product that we're debuting, which is the product we're calling the EvoCore P8700, is really kind of setting the bar for single thread performance in the RISC-V space. It's something that our customers are asking. I mean, this product's being designed specifically for automotive, and, you know, as automotive controls and things have gotten more complex, you know, algorithms, all the different types of sensors people are employing, you know, just having a really fast processor is needed. So you know, at least that's where we see how we're going to use RISC-V to address what our customers are asking for.
Automotive is just an exploding realm of opportunity. You know, I sort of look around the infotainment and drivetrain and everything else that is, you know, really just one large traveling computer, you know, that, you know, luckily has all the features for entertainment and safety that one could imagine. But it is incredible the number of growing opportunities there with autonomous and assisted driving and other features and capabilities being added constantly. Any more hints on what's coming, you know, more broadly or down the line beyond automotive and data centers? You know, you've talked a little bit about network and 5G. Other forums that you see as ripe for RISC-V or MIPS specifically?
We're really concentrated on the applications and the customers that we're engaged with today, but we obviously need to think about roadmap in the future. And, you know, we really do believe in this idea of heterogeneous compute, and RISC-V does too, with things like vector extensions and, you know, bringing in other AI or ML type concepts into the standard. So we want to definitely help, you know, push and support that. And that's definitely going to be something that we, you know, evolve into our roadmap as we progress.
So lending a hand or helping out with sort of the greater community is something that is sometimes new for the hardware world, is something that, you know, that contributor aspect, or, you know, taking a leadership role or contributing, you know, some of your designs or just thought leadership within many of our technical communities. You know, that's something that we've been seeing some of the MIPS, you know, team step up and contribute to. How is that part of your strategic future, engaging in communities like RISC-V?
We think it's important, right? I mean, again, I think there's a lot of heritage and knowledge that's in MIPS today. And I think we've talked about this as, you know, these are two ICEs that were born from, you know, the same place and could be related in as cousins in some way, shape, or form. We do need to be able to keep our differentiable technologies and be able to differentiate ourselves in the market, but we want to be able to bring a lot of the risk heritage that's, you know, been built in MIPS over the past 35 years and lend it to RISC-V in a way that, you know, everybody can benefit from. And, you know, that might be in the solutions and the products that we put forward, that people can see, you know, how we implement certain ideas, but that's going to be engaging in, you know, whatever groups or committees that are available that we can, you know, help affect in IEEE type of way, where you know, we might have ideas and help shape the standard in what we think would be a positive way.
Yeah, and we are grateful for it, Desi. I mean, getting to work shoulder to shoulder with the great talent in architects and engineers from your team, as well as fostering that sense of collaboration in the community, is huge. It accelerates all of us. Everyone gets a running start that way. And there's still so much room to go off and be wildly commercially successful beyond that. So really grateful for that. Any closing thoughts, words, things that you'd like to share?
It's been quite an adventure for this last week, kind of debuting MIPS's plans in the RISC-V space. And thank you again for welcoming us with such open arms. It's been refreshing. We look forward to great things and, you know, a future for MIPS plus RISC-V in a way that the industry will benefit.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much, and look forward to chatting again with you next.
Thanks, Calista.